Blog Talk Radio.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Oh, brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'll brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
committed no crime, and that we stay. Fastlane Sports Nation, welcome to the weekend and an all-new episode. We have an awesome show planned for you tonight. You will not want to miss this show. We have a 2021 track champion joining us in just a little bit. We've got dirt racing, a little bit. We've got the Fastlane Sports Show NASCAR League standings and the NASCAR playoffs getting heated up down south in Texas. We've got college football, more upsets, the penalty box, and so much more. Grab a cold one, get the popcorn ready, sit back and relax. It's showtime. Let's go.
Live from the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tonich.
Oh, that's right. This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. I'm your host, Pete. Thank God it's the weekend. Thank God it's the weekend. It's Saturday. That means it's time for an all-new show. I'm so excited about tonight. In case you hadn't seen my tweet from earlier, or if you haven't seen any of the social media posts all week, then I guess you don't know what's coming up. But if you have seen it, then I guess it won't be such a surprise, and I can't wait to get him on air. But we will have a 2021 sprint car track champion joining us in just a little bit. I've got Christina here. She will be joining me in just a second. This show is presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com today and check out their great line of hunting and fishing apparel. Whether you are fishing in the middle of summer on a lake or you are getting ready to gear up for hunts, hunting season is coming up. And that means that fall is here, and that means that winter is coming, and that means it's going to be getting cold, and you don't want to be too cold and stuck out in the snow while you're hunting. So be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com. They've got a new line of camo, and they've got great deals. You can get custom apparel. Maybe you're going on a big hunt with a group, and you all want to dress the same. You can get customized apparel. Go to hardcorefishinggame.com today. Check out their line of clothing. They've got more than just hunting and fishing apparel. You can get just regular apparel that you can wear out and advertise for your favorite hunting and fishing apparel company. That would be Hardcore. And when you shop today, be sure to use code HFG20 when you check out. You'll save 20%. That's right, 20% off of your entire order today. Thank you to Chuck and the great group of guys over there at hardcorefishinggame.com. They've got great stuff. I got to meet Chuck this past summer down in Florida. Of all places for me to meet a sponsor of the show, usually they're around here and I know them. But Chuck has been a great supporter of this show, Slicks and Sticks, Christina, go way back with him. But I got to finally meet him personally this past summer down at Panama City Beach, Florida. Great dude, full of energy, him and his wife both, full of energy, great guy, loved him. We had a great talk and everything. So I'm glad they came on board. I think they'll be friends and partners of the show for a very, very long time. But what do you say we do do a little talking dirty and kick the dust up?
Kick the dust up. Come on. All week long, it's a farm in town. They're making that money grow. Tractors, plows with flashing lights. Backing up a two-lane road. They take one last lap around. That sun up high goes down. And then it's on, come on, girl, kick it on back. Z71 like a Cadillac. We go way out where there ain't nobody. We turn this cornfield into a
time to do a little talking dirty, and I've got my favorite person to talk dirty with on the dirtiest show on the internet. This is Talking Dirty. Miss Christina, good evening, happy Saturday, and welcome.
I almost forgot it was a Saturday. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, that's right, because you had to work. I forgot. Yeah, that throws your
week
off.
Yeah, throws everything off. But it's been an interesting day. I mean, if you live in Florida, we're going to be going with Hardcore Fishing Games t-shirts and fishing apparel, considering it never gets that cold here.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't have to worry about the thick winter camo for hunters down there in Florida, I would assume. But yeah, we've had a great sports day so far, Christina. I mean, there's been some upsets. We'll talk about the race, what happened in the race down in Texas. We'll talk college football because, Christina, we may have had another upset
in
the top 10. We'll talk about that. We've got a track champion joining us in just a little bit, Christina. We'll get to talk to him. You'll finally get to ask your question, and
I've been waiting for over a year. Okay, folks truly understand. It's been over a year. I've been wanting to ask this question for over a year.
All of the world will be right when Christina finally gets to ask her question. We've got that coming up. We're winding down to the end of racing season. A lot of small town short tracks are Wayne County's been done for a few weeks now. Attica, places like that. Jennerstown has been done for a few weeks. Lernerville, they're in the middle of their Steel City Stampede is this weekend. That's going on right now. There's a couple tracks here and there. Even the Outlaws are slowing down. The All-Stars are done. They crowned their champion, Christina. We talked about it last week. Mr. Sunshine, mm-hmm. Tyler Courtney, wrapped that up last Saturday. It's winding down, but we did have a race last weekend that we'll talk about. This is Talking Dirty. It's brought to you tonight by Racer Chasin Apparel. Go to racerchasinapparel.com today. Start shopping and go to the track in style. When you shop there, use code FASTLANE. You'll get 10% off of your order. Christina, the World of Outlaws did race last Saturday, and they wrapped up their weekend show at Port Royal. And the young man that we were talking about all night, he went to victory lane. And in fact, I believe he led from start to finish. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I'm pretty sure he led, every lap in that feature. It was a statement made, actually. So it's great. Considering it's tough to race at Port Royal Speedway, a lot of it, it's a great track. It's amazing. You saw what it looked like in 1978 today. If I should have showed you pictures from the 40s and stuff, you wouldn't have realized it was the same track. It was a great race. We saw a lot of crazy things happen, kind of gave it its all. We saw David Gravel and Donnie Schatz finishing on the podium, which is big in points racing because, yet again, David Gravel is finishing ahead of, Brad Sweet. Mm-hmm. And Brad Sweet having an okay night, finished 12th, not the greatest, but it could have been worse for him. We saw Logan Schuchart and Jacob Allen both have some momentum last weekend as well while being at home. So that's great for them too. And, I still think the coolest thing was seeing Zach Newland make the race. Granted, he had an incident where he finished last, but that doesn't matter. He made the race. He ran with the Outlaws, and, that's step one in becoming whatever you want to be in the future. So that mm-hmm. was cool, too. So, but, yes, Spencer Basin did run all 30 laps from the point position.
Yes, yes, he did. And amongst that top 10, we had sprinkled in there a few PA Posse boys. We had Logan Wagner, Lance DeWeese, a couple guys that run very, very religiously. They're from Pennsylvania. they run those Pennsylvania tracks every weekend. Brent Marks, a lot of guys in that top 10 that were representing Pennsylvania last Saturday.
Yeah, it was a great show for both, Outlaws and locals. Definitely, a statement weekend for them. And Port Royal's doing something crazy this weekend, too, hosting three nights of, modifieds and stuff. If you're in PA and you're at, in that Port Royal area, yes, you did see Stuart Friesen. Yes, there's, a lot of crazy things happening. Weather tried to spoil a lot of things this weekend, but from what I saw, I believe they're racing tonight. They did do some racing everywhere else. We'll see. I'm don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but at last I checked it, they were racing. So, yeah, they are. So, that's all that matters. They're still getting in some great racing at Port Royal, and Lincoln Speedway is wrapping up as well. Tonight's championship night for Lincoln Speedway. Mother Nature tried to spoil that one too. So, it's a lot of crazy things happening.
Yes, there are. And as we said, the small town short track seasons are coming to a close very rapidly. I mean, a lot of tracks already done. So if you didn't make it out to a racetrack this year, unless you're willing to travel, your chances are very, very limited to find a track. Speaking of, even late models, Christina, even the late model season has wound down to almost a screeching halt. The World of Outlaws, the only thing the World of Outlaw late models have left are the World of Outlaw World Finals down in Charlotte. So even the late models mm-hmm. are coming to a close.
Yeah, it's sad. This is the saddest time of year for me. Not only is, racing winding down, I turn a year older here in about a month, too. So that's the craziest part is, I love racing. I wish it could be year round, growing up with it. And ironically enough, Lucas Oil late models wrap up tonight, too. So, yeah, not a lot of racing left to be had, but. I guess that's why we get to talk to champions then when the season ends. That's the fun part.
Yeah, I'm sure that the drivers would disagree with you, Christina, and say that they're glad the season is over and they're looking forward to a little break because I couldn't imagine doing thousands of laps a year, weekend after weekend. And, you would have to get dizzy. We'll have to ask our champion when he comes on. If he races multiple times in a weekend, on Monday, are you still going in circles like at work? Are you walking around in circles or are you good? We'll have to ask him that. Looking at the World of Outlaw Morton Building late models points, though, going into World Finals next month in Charlotte, Brandon Shepherd has a very, very sizable lead over Chris Madden. Him and his 8 wins have a 178-point gap over second place Chris Madden. Chris Madden didn't have a shabby year. Any other series, he probably would be in first. He had 4 wins on the year, 38 top tens, and he was right there neck and neck with Brandon Shepherd in terms of even earnings for the year. But a few less good races than Brandon Shepherd. Brandon Shepherd had about 6 top fives more. So, a little more consistency out of Brandon Shepherd. But we are not surprised, are we, that Brandon Shepherd found his way to the top, the points there in the World of Outlaws, Christina. It took him till summer, but he finally found it. And then once he got first place, there was no looking back.
Yeah, I just wish that, Big Sexy ran full time with the Outlaws. We could see a little bit more of him up there. I had to go there. Brandon Overton, that's one of my favorites. But no, late model racing has been great this year. Seeing him at the top, no big surprise. But like you said, if it were any other series, we would. This conversation would be a little different. Those points would be closer and everything else, but it is what it is. And we move to World Finals and see if he has any kind of bad luck to give Madden a run, but I doubt it. So unless somebody starts removing spark plugs, like I think I've said throughout the year, nobody took my advice.
No, I don't think so. Speaking of Brandon Overton, he has 5 World of Outlaw series wins, Christina. He ran 20 races and had 5 wins. So the winning percentage for him in the world of Outlaws is pretty good. So, yeah, I think if Brandon Overton were to run a full-time World of Outlaws schedule, I think he would give Brandon Shepherd a run for his money, probably, most likely he would do that. Devin Moran, another driver who is not a full-time Outlaw driver, he ran 10 races and won 4. So he had a pretty good season when it came to running with the Outlaws as well. Again, he runs, he does not run, obviously, a full-time World of Outlaws schedule. But the man who does and the man who's been at the top all year, the last few years, Mr. Brandon Shepherd, he will go into Charlotte with that 178-point lead. As far as the sprint car side, the World of Outlaw NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series, Brad Sweet still has that lead. But, Christina, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, David Gravel slowly chipping away at that lead. He's brought it down to under 100 points now. He's 92 points back from Brad Sweet for that championship. He's making a run. He's trying. Like you said, he had a good week last weekend at Port Royal. He definitely made up some ground, but his time is also getting to be limited, and he's running out of weekends to catch Mr. Brad Sweet as well.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. There's a little bit of racing left to be had there. They're going to race, I believe, next weekend. The 22nd, they'll hit the Speedway again. So we'll see how it goes. I do want to say what I think should happen, I want to see happen in the future for sprint cars, is the bigger purse money like we see the late models have. There was a comparison put out there as far as money-wise and points and purses and stuff like that. There is a big gap there between late models and sprint cars, and I hope in the future we can see that gap diminish and where the sprint car guys are getting kind of the same amount of money for purses and stuff as late models. Just, I want to see that. Like, let's be honest, Big Sexy won a lot of money just running a couple races, and I mean, I want to see the same happen for sprint car guys in the future. But I mean, we'll see. World Finals is around the corner. David Gravel needs a little more work. He needs to throw something there at that 49. and get a little look on his side. But, I mean, that's a little closer of a battle, in my opinion, than the late model. So we'll see. Yeah. He has a shot. But David Gravel is very tough in the next couple. I mean, Brad Sweet is very tough in the next couple of weeks and the tracks we're going to.
Yeah. Your point real quick about the purse money, I wonder, though, Christina, you think, you know, especially in the World of Outlaw series, comparing the sprint cars to the late models, though, I mean, these sprint car guys, they're running 75, 78 races a year, and the late model guys are running 45, maybe 50. So do you think maybe that's why those purses are a little bit bigger, is because they don't run as much? You know, they run with the Lucas Oil guys. So you can have guys like Brandon Overton who can run both series and pick the big money races he wants. But I wonder if, you know, the Outlaw, the sprint cars, we don't see those big $50, $60, $100,000 purses as much because we're running a lot more races.
Yeah, that could be a factor, yeah. I would love to hear perspectives from drivers and stuff, too, just to get more insight on it, because I've come from the late model world. I mean, most people know that know me. I grew up with late model racing in a garage with late model drivers and stuff. So I see that, and I've seen the sprint car side of the work as well, but I think that does have a factor, is the fact that there's a lot more sprint car races, but I still think there should be a little more money added to some of these races that they go to. It could be local or national. It doesn't matter. I just wish that the purse money was a little higher for these guys. And girls, they're really busting tail, and you know, like the champion you're going to have on here in a second, most are family run too, so
yeah.
I mean, they're literally putting everything back into the car and then some, and I mean, that takes a lot, and it's great to see the, you know, the success that some teams and family teams can have.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, we do have, he is in the green room now, so we will go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will talk to our first track champion of this year. We'll talk to him. And then also coming up, we've still got NASCAR playoffs. We've got the Fastlane Sports Show League Challenge standings. We've got the penalty box and more coming up right here. So keep it tuned right here to the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishy Game. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by HardcoreFishAndGame.com. Be sure to go to HardcoreFishAndGame.com today. Christina, let me ask you, when you think of racing, you know, you think of families. Family is very, you know, racing is very family-oriented, right? Some of the biggest names in racing have been family names. Like, you know, you've got the Foyts, the Petties, the Earnhardts, you've got Andretti, Howden Shields, you know, right? I'd like to add a name to that list, especially around here in this area. You've got the Jacobs. We could add that family name to the list as well, because when you talk about racing, especially in this area, the small town short track racing community, Jacobs, the name, will come up. Especially around Wayne County and at Wayne County Speedway. And you can't talk about dirt racing without mentioning that name. So, Christina, without further ado, I would like to introduce to you, everybody, put your hands together for the 2021 Attica Raceway Park track champion in the 410 Sprint, Mr. Trey Jacob. Good evening, Trey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. That sounds really good, that 2021 track champion. I like the sound of that.
That does. It does sound good. Trey, thank you. I want to thank you first off for taking time out of your busy schedule. I'm sure you're traveling around the entire country, going on CBS and Fox Sports and ESPN, doing your interviews for your championship and everything. But I appreciate you taking some time to come on our show and talk to us.
Yeah, I wish, you know, actually this is our first weekend. It's officially our off season, and I'm actually at my cousin's house. I'm not sure, I'm hiding in the truck, so you might not be able to hear, but we have about, he's got a little backyard track, and we have about 20 go-karts out here. So
nice.
It's me, you know, Jack and Sheldon Hodenshield are here, Danny Mumall, Henry Malkit, a bunch of us local racers. We're all out here ripping go-karts and drinking beer and having a good time. So even when the season's over, we can't get away from racing.
That sounds like a great time. We probably should have done the show out there then at that little track. Might have been fun. Well, let's talk about you and your racing. Because you were the 2021 Attica Raceway Park track champion in the sprint car, 410 sprints. But when did you take an interest in racing, even as a fan? And then when did that kind of lead you to the whole, I kind of want to do that thing?
Yeah, I mean, I was I was born into it, you know, with my dad racing my whole life. I probably attended my first race when I was only, I mean, maybe a couple months old. I've been around it my whole life, but really growing up, you know, I was big into wrestling and was a decent wrestler, you know, through grade school and high school. And that was kind of the focus of my life. And we would go to the racetracks, you know, traveling all over the country with my dad racing full time. And me and my mom would kind of drop my dad and my brother off at the racetrack, and my brother would work on the car and my dad would race, and me and my mom would go to a mall and go out to eat and do those kind of things. You know, I was never really that interested. And then once I graduated high school, you know, it was always, I always kind of had it in the back of my mind, I think, that at some point I'd like to drive one of these things, but I never really thought too serious about it. And then when I was 19 years old, my dad was racing a 305 along with the 410s part-time for a guy out of Mansfield, and just one week, randomly, I kind of asked him, hey, like, what do you think? You'd think that guy would let me jump in that thing one night? And that was on probably a Monday evening, and then Wednesday he come home from work and said, yeah, hey, we're going to go put a seat in that thing and you're going to race it on Friday. So that was my first time ever racing anything. I jumped in a 305 sprint car and it was one of them deals. Once you jump in a sprint car for the first time, I was hooked after that. You know, I drove it, I think, 3 nights, and then it was 3 or 4 more years until we were able to actually build a car of my own. And then I got going in the 305 sprint deal around Attica and Fremont, and a couple years later got into the 410s, and we're kind of off to the races then. We just kept building every year.
That sounds like, you know, the typical answer, right? I mean, you know, once you get in, you get hooked. I can only imagine what the adrenaline of that would be like. What was your, do you remember that first race? Like, do you remember the adrenaline, and was it the first laps, you were like, yep, this is it. You're thinking inside that helmet, yep, this is it. I haven't even ran a race yet, but this is what I want to do.
Yeah. It's crazy because driving a sprint car, they're unlike any other vehicle you could ever drive. And I remember I'd never even fired one off until engine heat that night at Attica. And then I went out in hot laps and felt like I was just flying. And, you know, it was only a 305 cubic inch motor. I mean, looking back now, the 305s really aren't very fast, but man, it felt like I was just flying. And I knew right away, like I never really thought much about racing, but as soon as I started making some laps, I was hooked. And then it just turns into trying to learn how to become faster every lap and every time you get in the car. And that's something that's I've always loved. You know, I start doing something and then I just want to master it, you know, and I want to try to become the best I can at it. And it just, yeah, like I said, after that first night, I was fortunate enough to have a guy out of Mansfield, just because I was Dean Jacobs' son, he put me in a car, and I had no experience ever racing anything in my life before that. I had just watched it a lot and grew up around it. And it took a few years after that before we were able to build our own car. And then once we got our own car put together, we've just always been low buck, and I had a 305 deal, and then I ran it for about a year and a half. And luckily I was fortunate enough to get a 410 motor pretty cheap. And then we were doing the real thing. And I felt like then, once I became a 410 sprint car driver, like, this is it, you know. And ever since then, it's just been all about getting better every night, every week, every year, and we've slowly built up, and I can't get enough of it. Like I said, literally, this is the first weekend off I've had since probably the second week of March, and I'm sitting here at a go-kart track. I just got done ripping laps in a 500cc micro or outlaw cart, you know. Just I can't get enough of it. I love this stuff, you know. It's in my blood, and there's nothing more fun than getting in a race car.
Yeah. Trey, maybe for some of those who are listening tonight that might not know that intro that I gave about the Jacobs family, in this area, especially Wayne County area, this part of Ohio, You know, a lot of people have probably heard of the Pete Jacobs Memorial Race at Wayne County Speedway, but, you know, the name goes back to the 60s. Why is it such a big deal, the Jacobs name, in dirt racing in this area?
It runs really deep. You know, my grandpa Kenneth, he raced mostly late model stuff and was a really good racer around home and raced a lot at like Hilltop and Lakeville, and he was winning a lot, and from what I've been told, like the story's been passed down through generations, he was he had a late model that had like a Hemi motor in it that was he would just win every week. And for whatever reason, one night at Hilltop, they decided to deem his car illegal. And his dad, Pete, which would have been my great-grandpa, told them guys, well, to hell with you guys, I'm going to go build my own racetrack. And he went and built Wayne County Speedway. So then they built Wayne County and started racing that. And then my Uncle Kenny, who he's here riding a go-kart with us, he started racing sprint cars and found some pretty good early success at it. And then when my dad turned 17, he started racing, and then it all began. You know, anybody with a Jacobs last name, I feel like, gets in some kind of race car or dirt bikes or four-wheelers or something, and we're all about racing. Yeah, our whole family, we just love it. So it started, I don't even know what year it was that Pete built Wayne County, but when he built that racetrack, and Grandpa passed that on to my dad and Uncle Kenny, and my Uncle Bud raced a little bit, since then it's kept passing down generation after generation, and I don't think it'll ever get out of our bloodline. You know, I'm getting married here in a couple months, and I hope to someday soon, hopefully have a son of my own or a daughter, and the first thing I'd probably buy them when they get 4 or 5 years old, the go-kart. You know, I want to keep passing it on, because it's so awesome that the racing community is like a big family, and when our whole family, that's all we do. So it's just cool to carry that on generation after generation.
Yeah. It's not many people can say that, you know, I'm just going to build a racetrack and goes out and builds a racetrack. I mean, especially right across the street from their house, you know. So that would have been pretty cool. That is, you know, a big reason why then we have the Pete Jacobs Memorial Race at Wayne County Speedway, and it's a big deal every year. A lot of sprint car drivers show up for that, and it's awesome to see, you know, the racing community. It's got to make you feel pretty cool too, you know, to have that name, to be a race car driver. And then to either participate in that race or get to watch that race at the track that your great grandpa built. That's got to bring some emotions to the race too, I would think.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've said, you know, all along, like as a sprint car driver, obviously the biggest race you could win is the Knoxville Nationals. And then, I mean, there's Kings Royal, some big races like that, but right up there, top five would be Pete Jacobs Memorial for me. You know, if I can win that race, they'd probably burn that place down. You know, it would be insane. We would bring the house down, and that would be huge for me. And that was actually my dad's first career all-star win, was at the Pete Jacobs Memorial. And that was huge back then. I think it was 96, 97, maybe 98, somewhere in there. And it's huge for a family. And if a Jacobs could win that race, you know, it's just everybody around home, the support we have around there and having our name tied to that race, it's just awesome. And now, you know, any given year we have three or four Jacobses racing that race. So our odds are getting a little better to win the thing. But, yeah, I'm hoping to one day make that happen very soon. You know, we had some bad luck this year, but I feel like we have a shot, you know, every year going into, and that's definitely one of the dates on the calendar that I circle, and I would love to win that race. It was awesome. I got my first career sprint car win at Wayne County Speedway, and that meant a lot because of my great-grandfather building the place, and then if I could just win the race in his honor, that would be huge to me.
Oh, yeah, I can just imagine. We are talking with the 2021 410 track champion from Attica Raceway, Mr. Trey Jacobs. He is joining us tonight on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Trey, you kind of mentioned Dean being your dad. His first track champion at Wayne County Speedway. I kind of feel like maybe you were his good luck charm because he won it, what, the year after you were born. That was his first track championship.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Might have been. I was born in August of 91. So, yeah, he might have won it in 91 even. I'm not sure when his first one was. And then, you know, it's pretty awesome. And now this was what he says his final year racing. This was his 40th year. And he says he's done now. And it was really cool that he was able to cap off a career with another track championship at Wayne County Speedway where it all started.
Right.
And it's cool that, you know, two of the three or four local racetracks in Ohio that my dad was able to win the track championship at one place and I was able to win one at the other. So, that was pretty neat. And I don't know if I fully believe him that he's done completely, but I guess time will tell, you know, we'll see if he gets back in a race car, but it was pretty cool for him to go out that way.
Now, you mentioned, you know, that you kind of got in a 305 for a few years, took a few years off, built your own, ran that for a year and a half, then moved up right up to the 410s with only, you know, maybe 2 years in a 305. So for you to do that and then become the rookie of the year at Attica in 2015 in the 410s, how important was that? How much of a confidence booster or – you know, kind of like the icing on the cake to keep you into racing, getting that Rookie of the Year award. Is that kind of what gave you more of that motivation and confidence to stay in racing?
Yeah, it was pretty big. You know, I, for whatever reason, I never really found much success in the 305 deal. I mean, I didn't do it long. I only did it a year and a half. And when we were doing it, I didn't race every week because we didn't have the funding or whatnot. And if I crashed, then it would normally take a couple weeks before we could get a car back together and back on the racetrack. But I ran second a couple times in the 305, but never won a 305 race. And then for whatever reason, as soon as we switched to the 410 deal, I seemed to really adapt and find my own when we moved to 410s, I honestly ran better in a 410 than I ever did in a 305. I think just my driving style and everything, just the way the car handles and everything with the more horsepower, I'm a better 410 racer than I ever was a 305 racer. So it was pretty big right out of the gate. You know, we were running pretty decent in the 410 deal and we were able to build a little bit of momentum, and then we were able to get that Rookie of the Year deal. It was cool, and even though we only ran, I mean, probably a little over half the races that year, because I only had one motor and it blew up partway through the year. So, but the nights that we raced, we were always, you know, we were running top 10s, top 15, like we were running good every night. So. It was a lot of fun and a lot of – it was just – I for whatever reason, my driving style, it seemed – the 410 deal seemed to suit it a lot better than 305. So and as soon as I got in a 410, I took it a little more seriously too with my lifestyle and you know, spending more time in the shop. And because then it's like I felt like I was doing the real thing. Nothing against 305 racing. It's a great stepping stone. But once I got a 410 under the hood, now I'm a sprint car driver and now I need to take this serious. It's not a toy. It's something to take serious. And I just want to get to the top level.
Now I'm going to bring Christina in because she has a question, because you mentioned, just a minute ago about how, you know, your dad, he secured his fourth track championship at Wayne County this year, three in a row. While you got yours at Attica this year. So Christina has a question that she's been dying to ask you since we found out, especially that you became the track champion at Attica. So I'm going to let Christina ask you this question because I don't think she can wait no longer. Go ahead, Christina.
All righty.
No, well, thank you for joining the show first off, Trey. But No, I think I've been wanting to ask this since I was at Wayne County. I pretty much went across country to watch sprint car racing at Wayne County a couple of years back. But I need to know, what is it going to be like at the holidays? Like, are we going to compare trophies? Who has the bigger track championship? I want to know, because in my family, that's exactly what would happen. And it did happen a couple of times, but in late models. But how is it going to be with you and your dad, you know, side by side with these track championships? I want to know if there's going to be any kind of competition there.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. You know, me and my dad, it's fun because the handful of years I've been racing 410s with my dad, a lot of people ask me, like, if there's one car in the pits that you want to beat, who is it? And it's always him. It's just the way it is. You know, I feel like if I can beat my old man, then I'm doing something right, because he's a veteran and he's got a lot of time and a lot of years and his skill, especially around Wayne County. He's for being, however, 57 or 8 years old, he's still a really good race car driver, and it's cool, you know, to go out there and compete with him. And I think maybe sometimes when I get behind him or I'm racing side by side with him, you know, I try to find that extra little bit, you know, it just pushes me, because he's one of them guys, just because I know how good he is. And I know if I can beat him, I'm doing something right. So it's cool. You know, a little bit of friendly, you know, competition, but I know at the same time when we're out there on the track, and if he's behind me, or he wants me to win more than he wants to win. So, it's just awesome. And then we have my brother is the crew chief on Big Game Motorsports 2 car for David Gravel out on the Outlaw deal.
Yeah.
So whenever we're all together, you know,
I wasn't sure, but yeah. I thought there was something there. So
yeah.
I love David
Gravel.
Yeah.
So he's at the highest level of all of us. You know, me and Dad can go back and forth about our little track championships, and then Cody will chime in with all the World of Outlaw wins he has this year and kind of put us all to shame. So, yeah, it's awesome. You know, our family dynamics, just awesome. Everything revolves around the racing deal, and we've never had it any other way, and I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, it's cool. We all push each other. You know, anytime I run good around home, if I can win some races, you know, my brothers call me, congratulate me, and I talk to Cody and David quite a bit, and we all push each other. We just all want the best for each other. And when I'm at Wayne County, I want my dad to run second because I want to win. And when I'm somewhere else on a Saturday night, there's nothing better than getting a call or text saying Dad won Wayne County. So it's just awesome, you know. Any night, I'm not sure if there were any weekends this year where all three of us won, but I know there's been plenty of weekends where my brother and David have won an outlaw race, and then I've won Attica or Wayne County or whatnot, and it's just cool if the whole family can find victory lane in a weekend. You know, there's nothing better than that. We're all succeeding at what we love to do, so it's awesome. We all push each other.
Yeah. Since moving up to the 410s, Trey. You haven't raced just at Attica or Wayne County. Is there a track that you've been to? And we know that you're going to stay Wayne County or Attica, but is there a track outside of this area that you've been to that you were like, man, this is an awesome track. It's got great speed. It's just a cool track. It's a cool place. What is maybe your favorite racetrack outside the two you raced at back here?
Yeah, I mean, Attica will always be my favorite place. I run really well there, but, I'd say like Wayne's Field is a lot of fun. It's little bull ring, probably about the size of this go-kart track I'm looking at right now, just banked up. You're flying around that place and it's fun. I got to run Eldora this year for the first time. That was a learning experience and it's pretty fun. And West Virginia Motor Speedway, I ran there twice this year. They just opened that place up. It's a big 5.8s where if you want to go fast, you go around West Virginia Motor Speedway. That's a whole new level of speed that I had never felt before. And so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, Attica will always be my favorite track, I'd say. And then anywhere else, Waynesfield's a lot of fun. I've run quite a few different places. You know, I went over Thunder Mountain in Pennsylvania and ran good there a few years back. Roaring Knob, Pennsylvania, Mercer. I've been all over the place. Atomic is a really fun racetrack. You know, I love every racetrack. You know, I just, anytime I can get in a race car and go to a new racetrack, especially where it's somewhere I've never seen and everything's new, it's fun learning and figuring out the fastest ways around new racetracks. And every place is unique in its own way. So yeah. I love them all. Attica will always be my favorite. But anytime I can get in a race car and go to a racetrack, I don't – some nights, some are better than others, but really any night at a dirt track is better than a night away from one.
We are talking with the 2021 Attica track champion in the 410 Sprint Cars, Mr. Trey Jacobs. Trey, just a couple more questions, then we'll let you get back to racing. you know, you had four wins at Attica this year. What is it like when the Outlaws maybe come to town and you get to race against them? You know, you race weekly at Attica, but then the Outlaws come to town and you get to race against them. Are your nerves a little more jacked up, or is it just another night for you and that's just another driver that you're going against? Or does it kind of, you know, I'm not taking anything away from any driver that races a 410 sprint car, because I sure as heck couldn't do it. But, you know, we're talking about the world of outlaw guys. These are big money guys. They got big sponsorships. They're the best of the best. When they come to town, does it motivate you anymore? Is it any more nerve wracking, or is it just another night for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's the little added, you know, I'm just, when Outlaws come to where I feel like is my home turf, you know, they're great because they race all over the place, different racetracks, you know, 80 times a year. So, but when they come to my home track where I race every week, you know, I'm licking my chops because and it's cool because Attica had two outlaw races for the first time this year. So it's like, I have two opportunities to really shake up the racing world is the way I look at it. And yeah, I woke up that morning and both the races and I'm like, today's a day I could really turn some heads and I could really shake up the racing world. So I just look at it as a huge opportunity. And the first outlaw race of the year this year at Attica, really, I mean, I can say now, like, I won two races at Attica. I won two at Wayne County. But the first outlaw race back in May at Attica was my favorite race of the entire year because it was my first time ever. I drove Pete Grove's 70 car, and that was my first night ever getting in it. And then we actually run second in the heat race, last corner, crazy finish to get in the dash. And then when we went to the dash draw, I decided I'd been carrying an engagement ring in my bag for a long time just in case we ever won a race. And for whatever reason, it kept getting away from me. And I pulled an engagement ring out and proposed to my girlfriend at that race.
Wow.
So that was I won four races, but that race was my favorite night of the whole year because, you know, it's awesome winning these races, but it was just so cool to cement something like that for a lifetime that I'll never forget. And that was just the best night of my life. And, you know, Attica's always held a special place in my heart. And to do it, that was the first ever World of Outlaw Dash I made, first night driving a car, you know, everything just, it's like the stars all aligned and everything was good. And I turned a lot of heads and then, you know, got fortunate enough that the love of my life decided she wants to spend the rest of her life at a dirt track. So you can't get any better than that. So, yeah, the World of Outlaws, when they come to town, it's always awesome. And it's a big opportunity for me and guys like me who might not get the national spotlight, you know, all the time. But we run up front in these outlaw shows, and there's a lot of eyes on you. And at the end of the day, you know, that's our goal, to get up into a traveling series And, you know, if you can run good at a handful of them races, you know, people are watching.
Well, somebody pass the tissues now, because I think I got to end the interview on that now. Congratulations on that. That's awesome to hear. And it's, I've always wanted to ask, you know, because it's like, I'm not taking anything away from the local guy, but you know, the Outlaws show up and I sometimes think they kind of puff their chest a little bit, like, you know, we're the Outlaws, this is just another track, but you guys are like, this is my weekly track. This is where I race. I'm going to take you on, like, don't come into my home turf and think you're going to beat me. So that's cool to hear stories like that, and that you get the chance to race against those guys. It's awesome that the World of Outlaws goes to racetracks that might not otherwise get big national attention. So that's got to be awesome, and it sounds like it is pretty cool for you. Trey, we all know that, you know, none of the racing would be possible without sponsors. What kind of sponsorship do you have on the cars with you that you race and support weekly?
Big help has been Performance Foot and Ankle here. They got office in Worcester and Millersburg. Dr. Nicole Horn and her husband Jamie have helped me out for a couple years now, and they're big. And Integrity Auto and Truck Sales out of Bucyrus, Ohio, they've come on this year and been a huge help. And I got Skip's Auto and Truck Repair in Marion, who helps me out a ton, you know, buys tires every week and does a lot. And there's just a lot of small-time sponsors, you know. I don't have any one big, like, corporate-type sponsorship, but there's a lot of really small-time guys. You know, Tim Urian helps me out a ton, Thrifty Muffler, Scanlon Enterprise, Bellboys Trucking, you know, all these guys that they throw in $1,000, $2,000 here and there, and it really adds up for a small time team like ours. And mm-hmm. without all these guys helping us out and the support like that, you know, winning a track championship at Attica is not easy to do. It's the premier local racing track in Ohio, you know, and for us to get that done on as small of a budget as we have, you know, really, really, I feel like is more of a testament to our supporters than even it is me as a driver. You know, it just shows that we were able to build a really good team with the support that we have. And we, all of our supporters and all of our, any kind of financial backing we get goes in the right places. You know, we don't cut any corners or waste any funds. So, a lot of small time sponsors really help us out. DAC Vitamin and Minerals too is another big one. My dad's cousin Randy, you know, helped us out a ton, helped us get a motor rebuilt. And without all them, we couldn't do what we do. And because we are low buck, you know, my dad works at a bus garage. I work full time manufacturing job. You know, we don't have the big cash cow, you know, so we're just doing what we can and making our deal better and better every year. And hopefully here, if we can get the right amount of funding and sponsorship, then we'll build it up to an all-star deal.
That would be awesome and big news as well. Also, along with the sponsorships, obviously we know that you're not the only person who works on the car. I'm assuming you have some people that help you. In fact, I believe it was you that tweeted out yesterday or today about maybe a little cousin of yours or something that helped you on the race car this year. So how important is it to have the help of friends and family, you know, jumping in, helping you work on the car, get the setup going, you know, replacing what needs replacing or whatnot. The crew is big time for you guys as well.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. You know, my dad, we keep everything. He built a shop at his house a few years ago, and we keep everything at my dad's. And we do the majority of the work through the week, you know, me and my dad. And then Bonsai Bruns, who I've known since I was just a little kid. You know, he worked for my dad on the Frigidaire deal. He worked for Jack on the Pennzoil car, and he worked for Sheldon, getting Sheldon going. He's worked all over the country. He came on board last year as a more of a crew chief role and really helped us get going. And then Tim Urien helps out, and then my little cousin Kale is the one I actually tweeted about. You know, he's a 15-year-old kid that is I think he might be a sophomore in high school now at Norwayne. And that kid, he plays baseball, but he would miss baseball practices or games to go to Attica on Fridays. And, like, this kid just busts his tail and is all eyes and ears and wants to learn everything he can. And he'll be at the shop bright and early if we get tore up on a Friday and got to get ready to race on a Saturday. And it's pretty incredible, really, for a 15-year-old kid in today's world to want to work that hard and learn that badly. You know, most of them want to sit and play video games or you know, be lazy. But this kid just really busts his tail for us, and it's awesome. And which makes it all more better that we were able to win that track championship and win a handful of races, because, you know, and I feel like when those good nights happen and I'm able to do that, I'm repaying all those guys for all their hard work, because they're the guys, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah. A lot of people see Trey Jacobs, my name, when I win these races, but it's a full team effort, and those guys don't get the spotlight that they deserve. So it's always good, you know, to be able to reward them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whenever I do an interview with a driver, I always give them a chance to talk about their sponsors and their crew, because, like you just said, and like most people know, it takes both of those entities to help the driver every weekend to get out their race and have the chance to win. So, Trey, thank you again for taking some time out of your Saturday night. Tell your cousin we said congrats for his bachelor party there. Tell Sheldon, if he ever wants to come on the show, you've got my information. Get a hold of me. And then have a good rest of your evening, and thanks for coming on the show tonight and talking to us.
All righty. Yeah, I'll do that, and I really appreciate you guys having me on. You know, it's fun, and I always enjoy doing these interviews and talking to people, so I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a great rest of your night, Trey.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Well, Christina, that was our 2021 Attica Raceway Park track champion, Mr. Trey Jacobs, giving us a little history lesson on the Jacobs family name and the fun that he had this year racing, getting that track championship. That was pretty cool.
I know. It's great to, you know, hear from him, and I love hearing from family-run teams. I thought I was the only one that kind of grew up in a garage, you know, and everything. No, I'm joking. I know a lot of other people did it too, folks. But, you know, I just did it on the different side of the spectrum with late models. But, no, it's great to hear. I hope he can get enough funding. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I would love
to see him.
I'd love to see him race Port Royal Speedway at least once. I think he would do great there. So he's got a bright future, and it's awesome to hear how much, you know, racing means to him and everyone around him. And that's what makes racing such a great sport and family oriented. And it was awesome to hear from him, and I wasn't sure that was his brother, but now that I know for sure, then yeah, the holidays are even better in their household.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is definitely probably everybody else who doesn't race in that family probably goes, oh, these guys are flexing. Let's just go in the living room, let them fight it out in the kitchen, and let them talk. But, no, that was cool. I loved having Trey on. I love talking to these different drivers. He's a new driver to the show, so that's always awesome when we get to talk to a new driver, Christina. But I enjoyed the interview. I hope you did. I'm glad that, you know, you waited patiently for me to bring you on to ask your question. I think he kind of didn't want to answer. You know, I don't think he wanted to give out too many secrets about what the family talks about there at the holidays, but I'm sure that they, it sounds like they are not a a competitive family to that extreme. You know, it sounds like they,
no,
they
sounds
get along
like a fun
pretty
family.
Well. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. Christina, let's take a quick break. We'll take a 60-second break. When we come back on the other side of the break, we will talk NASCAR playoffs, the Fastlane Sports Show League standings that we have going into tomorrow's race at Texas, what happened at the Roval, what happened with today's Xfinity race. I almost said today's
what it should be called.
Nationwide race, but it's the Xfinity race. And then we'll get the penalty box pick. So let's take a quick break. Keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
All right, this is the Fastlane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to Hardcore Fishing Game. Use promo code HFG20 to get your 20%. Christina, it is amazing. First of all, thank you to Chuck and the whole group over there at Hardcore Fishing Game. But for him to offer our listeners 20% off, that is very unheard of in today's retail world, let alone anything online shopping. I mean, that basically pays for your shipping. That saves you the shipping. So thank you to those guys over there for being partners of the show. And obviously, you and Chuck go way back. He's a fellow Ohioan, so why wouldn't he jump on and be a partner of the show? Half of the show is in Ohio. The other half, obviously, is in Florida, which is where they're stationed at now. So it makes sense, right? I mean, it's not as fairy tale Hollywood movie material as Trey Jacobs' story about him proposing at the racetrack. Like, I was thinking Hollywood blockbuster, The Notebook, what? I'm thinking Trey Jacobs and at the racetrack proposing to his girlfriend and her saying yes. Like, where was the tissues at? Right? Was that not the best story ever?
I've seen a few of those in my day, actually, you know, and stuff. So that's the best part about racing, though, is you include all your friends, your family, the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. And you know, it's great. She loves the racing too, or she wouldn't be, you know, marrying into it. But no, that's the best part, is all that comes with everything else. And being able to do all that stuff. And you're not lying. Chuck and I go back way, way, way many years. but no, it's great to have them more localized here. But hey, you know, there's dirt racing in Florida too. So, you know, if Trey wants to start a season earlier, there's some tracks here. There's some tracks here in Florida that he could, you know, they could all venture down to, too.
Yeah, we might, I don't know, Christina, if we pool our money together, we might could sponsor him and send him to Florida, and he could have a big Fastlane Sports Show wrapped car. I don't know. We'll have to see. But let's talk NASCAR. Let's talk NASCAR, because I don't have the money to sponsor a sprint car. Yes, last week was the dreaded Roval. It followed
the
dreaded Super Speedway. we had carnage and bad attitudes everywhere. Guys getting so intimidated by another driver, they wrecked themselves at the end of the race. Right? I mean, Chase Elliott was right there. He scared him so bad that Harvick just wrecked. He just, Chase Elliott must have honed in his Jedi skills. And I think he Jedi wrecked him into the wall.
Don't bring Star Wars into this. Star Wars deserves so much more respect than that.
Chase Elliott. You're just a hater. But we all got a win last weekend anyway, right? We all have Kyle Larson on our team. So, except Craig.
No, not all of us. Craig's the little man out there.
But Craig has been scoring some points the last couple weeks, and he showed us all a thing or two at Talladega. Looking at last week's results, Christina, did you watch the race? What did you think? I know you were praying for rain. You never got it.
Of course I watched it. I didn't get rain either day. Yeah, there was no rain either day. Last week when I really wanted rain. I mean, who didn't want to see the rain tires come out? Come on. I feel like the rain would have made that race so – it would have been way next level if they would have had rain. But obviously that was not the case. But Noah had everything. The Roval did what the Roval does. I mean, that track was put on the schedule for this reason. Everything that it was supposed to give us, it gave us. It gave us headache. It gave us turmoil. It gave us playoff bubbles. It gave playoff drivers in, playoff drivers out. For goodness sakes, at one point, Kyle Larson was below the cut line. That's how crazy it was. It had William Byron winning the race. I mean, it saw the 48 had so many weird electrical issues. I'm not going to lie. I don't know what happened on the 48. I felt so bad for Alex Bowman. But if you look at his after-the-race pictures, like him standing by his car, he always looks like he's a model. I don't understand. Somebody give the guy a model, like a contract. He looks like he's doing – I don't understand. But no offense to him. He's a great race car driver as well, but I'm like baffled every time I see pictures of him outside of his car. And Stephanie just looks like he's coming out of a GQ magazine or something. But it also gave the Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick round two. And now, mind you, yes, it took a couple weeks for the Bristol payback, if we're calling it that. I mean, I personally think Bristol could have been avoided because, honestly, I don't think that what either driver did on the racetrack was that bad, except for Chase Elliott going like 40 mile an hour slower than he need to in front of Harvick. But you know, that he, you know, was hurt over a racing incident, and you know, it is what it is. But I mean, did I expect the retaliation at the Roval? I mean, we probably should have. None of us did.
I mean, I don't think Harvick did it on purpose. I don't think Harvick did it on purpose.
I don't think initially it was done on purpose. Just because, like, honestly, I replayed that because, you know, we have these smart TVs and everything now. You can replay live TV and everything. So it didn't look intentional. What was the stupidest thing I've ever seen Chase Elliott do, which was coming off the wreck, try to wreck the 4, and he wrecked the 41.
Right, yeah.
Like, if anyone should be pissed off about what happened at the Roval, it's the 41, for God's sake.
Right.
What the hell did he do wrong? What poor Cole Custer, just minding his own business, gets destroyed because Chase Elliott cannot wreck somebody intentionally. Well, at least not the right car. So, and
right.
the Harvick wrecking at the end, there was a multitude of issues that just compounded. And I mean, the car had, he complained all day about, if you listen to his radio, he was complaining all day about not having the turn and the brake. And I mean, we saw other drivers. Keselowski had similar issues. I think Keselowski wrecked 4 times in that race and still made it. I don't know how. I don't know how, but I mean, yeah. But the Revo lived up to what it was supposed to do.
It did. And Kyle Larson getting the win was huge for him because I remember there was a point. There was a point where he was below the cut line when I believe William Byron was leading.
Not only that, he had similar mechanical issues as the 48.
Yeah.
So the 48 and the 5 were losing voltage, and it turned out an alternator belt had popped off of the 5 car. So they were able to fix that, which helped the 5. The 48's issues were a lot more internally electrical, and there was no really – I mean, I think they changed the battery 4 times in that race. Crazy to think that they could change a battery that many times.
And expensive, as they are, those batteries are like $200. You go to O'Reilly's, and they're like $200 a pop. So
I'm pretty sure these are way more than that.
I'm sure they are.
I mean – it was a crazy turn of events. The Robo did not disappoint in either race, either series, Xfinity or the Cup side. That was pretty much everything you could hope for came out of the Robo. I mean, it's just going to be way more heightened now when we go to Martinsville.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then, of course, you know, with our league, everybody but Craig, as I said, has Kyle Larson on their team, so everybody gets a win. That helped a lot of teams. Nick came out of the Roval with the high score. He had a very good day with Larson, Blaney, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, all getting him in the 40s as far as points go. And then, of course, the 5 extra points for Larson winning. So that really bumped Nick up into the standings. Chris and Craig not having a great day at the Roval. Christina, you didn't have a great day either with Harvick not doing good, and then Chastain and Reddick not getting full points. So it happens.
But I got Blaney still.
Yeah,
Blaney is my dark horse, man. Let me just tell you, I didn't think he was gonna. I'm not gonna lie. I love Ryan Blaney, known him since he was a toddler, but I didn't expect him to be the one of the ones that are keeping me alive right now. But he is.
He is. And Larson, you've got Larson too, Blaney and Larson. So you still have those two playoff drivers there. Now, obviously, we start this next round. Texas is the beginning of the next round. So any playoff driver you still have in your team, you get those 10 bonus points per driver. So, you know, some people getting 20, some people getting 30. Some people still have all 4 of their drivers in the playoffs and getting full 40 points to go into the next race at Texas. Christina, looking at the standings, Nick makes a jump. He jumps up from 4th to 3rd. Last week, 4th. This week, he moves up to 3rd. He's been moving up the standings as well. He started the playoffs down in 8th, and every week he has been slowly moving his way up like a ladder to now being 3rd in the standings. And last week Craig took a big jump. He went from last to 6th. This week he stays 6th. But Debbie took over the top spot in week 2 and has never looked back. She is leading the points still over Jeremy. by 35 points heading into Texas. It's still not, it's not over for anybody. You know, we still have to get through this round. We've got Texas tomorrow and then Kansas, and then we go to Martinsville. And that's where everything is going to get dicey, because that is the cutoff race for this round, Christina. And that's where we're going to see a lot of fireworks, not just after the race, the pyrotechnic fireworks, but I think we're going to see fireworks throughout the entire race from some drivers.
Oh, of course. Well, I don't know now, because now, see, this is where NASCAR literally shoots themselves in the foot, okay? 1 week it's boys have at it. The next week it's we're calling both drivers, both crew chiefs, members of each team, and setting them down for a children you're being scolded conversation. Like, come on now. Like, I saw Harvick's post-race interview. I liked it. Harvick's post-race interview is real life teaches you lessons. I mean, come on. That could have been... Come on now. That wasn't that bad. Now, Chase Elliott, I don't know if his crew chief didn't, like, have a little chit-chat with him prior to the interview and was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't, you know, talk smack. Maybe we should kind of pretend we're the bigger people and stuff, considering we're moving on to the next round. There could be consequences to what my mouth is going to say. Just saying.
Well, we don't think of that until after the fact, and now we know. So
yes, but NASCAR got involved because it's the little prize child.
Well, anyway.
So we'll see. I still do not believe that this is over.
No, not in any way.
And if anything, Kevin Harvick can make a wreck look like a racing incident. He did last weekend.
Exactly.
For the point.
That's why I don't think NASCAR is going to be able to do much of anything, because it's going to be so hard to prove it. Unless he comes on the radio and says, ha-ha, I got him, you know, which Kevin Harvick's not going
to
do.
But I don't think he's not that dumb. I don't think he's that dumb to do.
No.
Now, if that was Joey Logano or something, yeah, maybe, but not Kevin Harvick.
He's an idiot. And I don't think the Roval is. I saw some. Did somebody actually say that after the Roval that Kevin Harvick's career is done or something? Like, no, he's not done. He's not too old. He's not done. I think he still has a couple years left. He's not done.
They must have been
he's
a Chase Elliott fan.
I don't know who it was. But look,
man, some people should not drink the Kool-Aid. You know, they always tell you, you know, surviving a cult 101. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
The top eight drivers that are left competing for a championship, though, Christina, with getting rid of Kevin Harvick. The top eight drivers now have all at least got a win this season. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, they are at the bottom right now of the cut line going into the first race of the round of eight. Below the cut line, we have Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski. So these four drivers, not below by much, heading into Texas. I don't think Texas or Kansas are going to be very big point-swinging races like a Talladega or a Bristol or a Richmond. But I think one of these drivers might get a win and secure themselves into the championship race. We'll have to see. But Brad Keselowski at the bottom of that is only 16 points. Yeah, he's only 16 points out, but... He needs some
Doesn't
good
matter. He
point
needs
races over the next couple, because whoever's below that line heading into Martinsville, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. So the four drivers, Christina, we have above the cut line are Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., and Ryan Blaney. So that's your eight drivers left in the playoffs. These are the eight drivers that in a few weeks are going to be down to four and racing at Phoenix for a championship.
I wish this whole, like, next three races weren't going to be two boring races and then the action-packed Martinsville. I mean, I just...
You know what they should have done?
They
should have raced all three races at Martinsville.
That would have been amazing, but
just
I feel
three
like
weekends
then people
in a
would
row.
Have been crying. Yeah.
Just three weekends in a row. A Martinsville. Three a month of Martinsville before the championship. You know what? Just run all four races at Martinsville and then crown the champion. Let's just do that.
I don't think that. I feel like people would have will pee their pants if there's a championship race at Martinsville.
I
would love it. I would think it's amazing. Just like I would think, you know, having a super speedway as a season finale would be amazing too. But, you know, people don't agree with that. But it's to each its own. So that's the problem with Texas. It's good, and then it's boring. And then it's okay, and then it's really boring. And that's exactly what happened today.
Yeah, what was wrong? You know, we had a bunch of running to do. I turned the race on my NASCAR app. I listened to the PRN broadcast the first stage and a half, and it was kind of up and down. What was there, like six caution flags in the first stage? Like the poor guy, I forget who it was now, J.J. Yaley, like couldn't keep his car running or something, caused a couple cautions.
Yeah,
but,
he was one of them.
But, you know, Allmendinger starting on the pole.
He had an incident. I don't know. So what pisses me off is we can interview all day long a bunch of cup drivers after the race, but during the Xfinity races, we only get two interviews, one being the winner and one being the second place driver. So I don't even know. I haven't been able to go back yet and find if they interviewed each party, which they did. I just haven't been able to talk about it yet. I mean, watch it yet to see what was said. But, I mean, yeah. I think there was like eight or nine cautions, and it was weird cautions, weird, you know, David Starr's car caught on fire on pit road. Which is why Nemechek actually had to go to the rear and serve a penalty because a crew member was over the wall too soon. But as Born everybody said, how the hell were they going to be able to see the, you know, David Starr was the pit box right in, before there. So they couldn't see how close Nemechek or how far away he was, and blah, blah. So this one tire changer was over the wall too soon. That was that drama. And the 54 is still your race winner, even though he had to literally drive through the field. The 54 was bad fast. I honestly thought he was going to fail post-race inspection. That's how fast he was. And made it look extremely easy. Mind you, he didn't. And it was crazy. We saw, Noah Gregson have a bit of, I looked at this and I replayed it like six times. I don't actually think he hit Allmendinger intentionally, but there was an issue with the 16. Which put him literally right on Gregson's front end, which he didn't wreck, sort of got him loose, and, you know, what it is what it is. He, you know, he went on the team radio right away and says, hey, tell him I'm sorry, I didn't think he was coming up there, and was all of a sudden hitting the brakes. That's what it looked like on the TV anyway. But, you know, it did shuffle the points a bit because it's crazy. The standings in this one changed all day long. So it was crazy to see how that happened. So the 19, which is Jones, and the 98, which we also know is Riley Herbst, they're the only two with issues with unsecured lug nuts. But it was a weird day. There were some crazy things that happened. I don't understand where all these spins came from. And, Talladega winner hit the wall. That was the hardest hit of the day, was Brandon Brown by himself. But, you know, both Noah and AJ kind of rebounded, and Noah finished third and Allmendinger finished sixth. Justin Haley was fourth. I mean, Justin Allgaier was fourth. I'm sorry. Oops, wrong one. And then Austin Cedric was fifth. Now, Austin Cedric won the first stage in the race, but then kind of faded, didn't have, like, the speed needed, you know, to maintain the pace there. But as we said, John Hunter Nemechek won the race. And the bridesmaid for the 10th time is Daniel Hemric, who was leading for a while, but yet again, the 54 literally drove through the field and won that race.
Now, I hope John Hunter doesn't think that this win gets him into the championship for the trucks, right? Because he is leading the truck points. But John Hunter Nemechek leading the truck points right now. But, of course, they did not race at the Roval. They did not race at Texas. They do not race at Kansas. They will be back, though, at Martinsville. So we will see the trucks at Martinsville, and then we'll have the final four set for that. That race is Saturday, October 30th, so a couple weeks yet for that. But John Hunter getting the win today in the Xfinity Series, but leads the truck series points. Some of our other top drivers you mentioned in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, AJ Allmendinger, he had a top 10. Austin Cindric having the top 10. Justin Allgaier, Noah Gragskin, all four that are above the cut line, all having a decent day, and actually all finishing third through sixth. So those guys having a good start to this round, although they would have liked to have won. Noah Gragskin and Justin Allgaier, the only two also of those of that group to not lead a lap today. So,
In a real stunning stat for the Xfinity Series, if we look at the last couple races, it's been a non-playoff driver winning.
Yeah.
And literally keeping points away from these guys in the playoffs. So it's making that race a lot bit tighter. And, I mean, they got Kansas and they've got Martinsville. And they made it known today during the TV broadcast. Steve Letarte was saying Martinsville, when they go there in 2 weeks, it'll be the only time they've seen the track since they were there last year for Xfinity. So it's going to be a very interesting Martinsville race. And if the 16 and the 9 can't stay away from each other, there could be something brewing there. I hope not, because I want to see both the 9 and the 16 make that final round and then battle each other as hard as you want at Phoenix. But that would be the ultimate thing to see happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And while Daniel Hemric finished ahead of Noah Gragskin today, Noah's still getting one more better point than Daniel. So that keeps him above the cut line. But Daniel Hemric is 2 points behind Noah. So Noah is not safe by any means heading into Kansas next Saturday, October 23rd. That race will be 3 p.m. on NBC. So we will definitely be watching that race very, very closely. And then, of course, tomorrow's race for the Cup Series, which is the, what is it, the Eco, is it the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 500? That race is tomorrow, and it is at 2 p.m. on NBC. So Kyle Larson on pole for that, followed by Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, and Joey Logano. That's your top five to start that race. So all eyes will be on that, as it is the first race of the third round for the Cup Series. It's going to be a good one, I think. I don't know. We'll see. Kyle Busch starting third, that close, kind of scares me. He might get the win. I don't know. He might get the win. Who's got Kyle Busch on their team? Oh, I do. I got Kyle Busch. Huh? Me
I think
and Nick.
Ryan Blaney. Ryan.
Jeremy. You think Blaney, huh? Well, I mean, if Blaney gets a win,
I'm picking Blaney for everything.
Let's
From
see.
Here on
you.
Out, that's what I need.
You, Chris, Matt Newsom, Debbie, Nick, and Craig. You guys all have Blaney on your team. A lot of you guys. Oh, come on! No, the cool people pick Kyle Larson.
poor Craig.
Poor Craig, big Craig. What do you say we go ahead and cue up the penalty box? We'll get that out of the way, and then we'll BS for the last 15 minutes of the show.
Sounds fun.
Right, in case this is your first time ever listening to the show, that is our penalty box sounder. This is the part of the show that Christina absolutely loves, second to us talking about late models in dirt racing. But this is where Christina picks the knucklehead, the sports knucklehead of the weekend, throws them in the penalty box, and they serve their 1 week penalty until we pick somebody new next week. Christina, who is going in the penalty box this weekend?
ESPN.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so we all know the NHL started this weekend. This week. I watched Banner Raising Night, which was Tampa Bay versus the Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously in Tampa Bay, which was aired on, ESPN, because they decided they like hockey again. It didn't go so well the first damn time. I don't know how it's going to go so well this time around when you can't even hear the damn commentators. Literally night one of the NHL, and I can't hear a single thing those people are saying. Maybe for the best, but I still can't hear a single thing they're saying. I didn't hear shit for the whole first period and a half. And I wasn't the only one. I asked on Twitter that couldn't hear it either. Could you hear everything on the ice? Yep. Sure, good. Hear everything, plain as day. But commentators, not at all. So, ESPN, we love our hockey. We would love it if you actually cared enough to like it a little bit, to, you know, have people on your broadcast, A, that know anything about hockey, B, would talk about hockey during a hockey game. And I guess, see, you could just hear them in general. So yeah, that's what I would expect or like. But yeah, so no, ESPN's gonna sit in the penalty box because I don't know why the NHL decided it was smart to partner with them and drop NBC Sportsnet and everything like that. But yeah, so here we are, and we have to watch hockey on ESPN.
Well, I guess now we have to put our hopes and dreams of landing on ESPN as one of their shows off for another year, since Christina just put them in the penalty box. They're not going to sign us now. So I guess I'll start emailing Fox Sports again. Well, ESPN.
How about NBC Sportsnet? There you go. They like hockey and racing. We could fit better there.
All right. Well, I'll send some emails to NBC Sports instead. So ESPN, you are in the penalty box this week. So if you, if anybody listening has a penalty box suggestion, be sure to tweet us or Facebook us your pick throughout the week, and Christina will go through those. And if you pick one that's really, really blows up her skirt, she might pick yours instead of hers. So be sure to get us those picks in. Christina, let's talk college football real quick. We've only got a few minutes left in the show, but we had a few upsets this week in our top 25, and we'll start with the biggest one of them all. It comes out of the Big Ten, Christina.
Good.
We had quite a few teams on a bye this week as well. So I know a lot of college football enthusiasts probably were not too excited about this weekend to begin with, because we had Notre Dame off, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. All those teams were off this weekend.
Yeah, was 90% of the Big Ten was off this weekend? I feel like it was I guess they needed to go get rejuvenated or something after last week.
I guess. Last weekend, I don't know. But
there was two
Big Ten team schools that were not off this weekend, and it was Purdue and number two, Iowa. Purdue is not ranked, Christina, but Iowa was ranked number two, and the final in that game was 24-7.
Yep.
But it wasn't Iowa that scored the 24
points.
Thank God. Huge upset. Huge upset. Purdue upsets number two, Iowa. This will in Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this late in the season, week seven, I'm going to go ahead and say that Iowa, your chances of the playoffs have officially come to an end. I don't see you bouncing back from this.
No, they're going to go downhill from here with their schedule.
The only
schedule's not going to do good.
The only thing that could help Iowa later in the season, okay, and I'm throwing this at you, Christina, the only thing that could help is if Penn State can beat either Michigan or Ohio State, okay?
What if they just beat both?
Or both, but whoever it is, Penn State needs to beat one or all of them. We got Michigan State up there too. So Michigan State and Michigan are the only two teams in the Big Ten left undefeated. The only thing that could help Iowa in this case is if they win the Big Ten, but Ohio State probably needs to lose another game, and Michigan and Michigan State both have to have losses as well. And Iowa needs to win out and possibly win the Big Ten for them to have any chance to make it back into the playoffs. But you've still got Alabama also sitting there. They were fifth coming into this weekend. So and Georgia won.
It's crazy how they
Cincinnati
fell.
Won.
They fell from
Oklahoma.
First to fifth.
Well, yeah.
Good.
But it's Alabama.
Good for
just
them.
Just like Ohio State, they didn't drop very far. And they're right back there.
They don't
there
play
six.
Anybody either.
I know they don't. But Georgia won.
No, that's just me.
Cincinnati
throwing
won.
Every...
Oh, I you're not going to get an argument out of me. You know that.
Oh, I know.
Oklahoma's winning right now. So things are not looking very good. Alabama's winning. The only thing that helped Iowa is that Ohio State was off this weekend. But I see Iowa probably dropping to at least 7th, if not 8th. And this is probably going to put Alabama right back in the playoffs at 4.
Yeah, probably. Probably so. But we did have one other upset. I don't know, is it considered an upset?
Are you talking about Florida getting beat or Arkansas?
I was talking about Arkansas. Florida doesn't exist, in my opinion, as a college football team.
They did get beat, though, by LSU.
Yeah, they did. They did. They put up 42 points and still lost.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
I mean, it's been a crazy year, but now Auburn found the winning combination against Arkansas today, which was another unranked team beating a ranked team.
Yep. And
so
and it was an unranked team going to playing on the road and getting a win. So big win. Big win for Auburn. Currently,
both unranked teams that beat a ranked team were on the road winning.
Yeah.
In Texas, I don't know what's going on. They're in a downward spiral. Blew a lead last week to Oklahoma. Blew a lead this week to Oklahoma State and lost both games.
Yeah, they did. They did. Alabama is playing right now. It's going into the fourth quarter. They're beating Mississippi State 35-9. NC State is beating Boston College. Huh?
I said who? Because, I mean, who does Alabama play all year?
Well, you know, they play all them southern schools. Who does Ohio State play? They got a tough schedule coming up. I don't see them beating Penn State. And Michigan's going to give them a run for their money. I'm sorry. I just don't think Ohio State is all there.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem with Penn State. If my boy doesn't play a quarterback, Penn State's royally fucked.
Is he out for?
They're predicting he probably won't be back until the Ohio State game.
Well, that's 2 weeks from now.
I know, and next week they play an unranked. Yeah, they play an unranked Illinois team next week.
At least it's at home. At least it's at home.
True, but we'll see. We'll see.
We will see.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of weird things happening in college football.
Penn State doesn't have an easy road to the end of the season. They've got Ohio State coming up at Columbus. They've got Michigan at home. Then the last game of the season, they go on the road to Michigan State. Ohio State, they also don't have a very easy road ahead. They've got Penn State coming up in 2 weeks that we just talked about. That game's at home. But then they finish out the season with Purdue, who just beat Iowa. They finish out the season with Purdue at home, Michigan State at home, and then on the road to Michigan. So depending on how Michigan State and Michigan play the rest of their season, I would not say Ohio State is safe by any means of winning out. So we will definitely see how that goes. Number 4, Oklahoma is playing right now. They're at home. They're beating TCU 31-21. So, and then Mississippi is on the road at Tennessee, which Tennessee had high hopes for this year. Mississippi's got them doubled up 24-12 at the halftime.
That's all. I got nothing else for college football. You know that.
I know. But we needed a little filler here at the end.
Well, if you want to get real crazy with a filler, Let's talk about how the Florida Panthers are undefeated.
Oh, you want to talk hockey for a minute?
Just a minute. Because the craziest thing, Florida is not known for hockey. At least not this side. Usually it's Babe, who isn't playing very well to start the season, losing one game, and they just won a game in overtime, I believe. Or a shootout tonight. I'm not sure which
it
was
says,
the case, but
15 seconds left in overtime. They're winning 2-1.
No, they won. It's over.
Oh.
Overtime
okay.
is whoever scores first. So, yes, Washington. Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay. So, Florida though, is on a roll, beating the Islanders today at home, 5-1. So that's crazy. And the Seattle Kraken made their debut, as well. In
they got
series.
Beat, though.
They did their first game, but they won their second game, got their first franchise win against Nashville. And they've already played 3 games. Seattle has played more games than some people have played altogether because St. Louis hasn't played at all, neither is Calgary or San Jose. So in their division, they're sitting second. Granted, they're at 500, but that's because they play more games than other people right now. But it's very early in the season, way too early to count anything for anything that matters. But the Panthers in Buffalo and Toronto. There's a lot of great hockey being played now, right now in the league, that's on TV. So, and if you want to watch hockey during the week, half the week it'll be on ESPN, the other half TNT. We have some crazy channels for hockey this year. But it's going to be a fun year, I think. I can't wait to get more, into the whole season. It's early, but ESPN really needs to work on their audio. They gotta figure out something, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's an early season. It's a long season, and it just started. So we'll definitely, once the racing has pretty much wrapped up, obviously we will shift our shows to more of hockey and football. We'll be talking about more of that stuff as racing comes to a close. But thank you, Christina, for joining me again tonight. Thank you for sitting through that interview. Thank you to Trey Jacobs for coming on, talking to us about his championship season. I appreciate that. And we might be back next week, Christina. Next Saturday is the big high school rivalry game here, and it's at 2 p.m. So depending on time the game is
it
over
depends on
and
who wins.
And what time I
Let's
get home,
be honest.
we will see. It might be a fly by the seat of our pants type of show, but I will definitely let you know because I don't want to miss a week. But if I don't have a voice, I can't really do a radio show. So we'll see. We'll see how next time
it happens.
We'll
be at work
next Saturday
in the morning,
goes.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely keep you updated, and I'll keep everybody else updated. Be sure to follow us and Christina on Twitter and Facebook for updates on hockey, racing, and everything else in between. But, Christina, thank you again. Have a great rest of your weekend. Tell Jim we said hi, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
So let's plan. Y'all enjoy your night. Remember, there's lots of racing, hockey, football, you name it, going on. Tune in. Get ready. I'll be on Twitter with some fire probably at some point this week. But peace out, y'all. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Trey. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a fan and listener of the show. Be sure to watch our social media all week to see if we'll have a show next Saturday. And if we do, we'll talk to you then. So have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Saturday, hopefully. For Christina, I'm your host, Pete. See ya.